Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
With any luck.
I love this time of year, normally, because, you know, it's still hot. We'll go to the fair, and it's hot, and you get on that water ride, and it cools you off.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little chilly down here. I don't know what it's doing up there, but it's getting kind of chilly, which is kind of okay, because I feel a little bit better about the kids starting school, which isn't until next week, but we already got all their supplies and all that crap.
Yeah.
Your kids start pretty soon, right?
They start tomorrow, and not a minute too soon.
Or as you like to call it, freedom!
Freedom! No, we're starting really early this year. But what's so weird about it is the same thing up here. The weather has taken a decidedly different tone. I haven't had to run my air conditioner in 3 days. Hmm. And it was like a switch just turned on. And suddenly, it's like suddenly fall in August.
Suddenly fall is right here beside me. That's from Little Shop of Horrors.
That was a different movie we saw.
I thought you had a whole story.
I did, but I'm just trying to figure out how to
it doesn't feel right.
Lead in. I'm trying to figure out how to lead into it.
It just doesn't feel right. Right. Hang on.
It doesn't right.
Hold on.
You guide me.
Hang on, I'll guide you. I got to remind myself of what the story was. Making supper. I love that you still call it supper.
I have a friend who lives in Oregon who she's about 10 years younger than I am. And she, the first time I called it supper, she's like, my grandma calls it supper. I said, hey, the painting isn't called The Last Dinner.
Dinner's lunch.
Dinner is lunch. What's breakfast? Breakfast, but we have two of those.
Second breakfast. All right, I got it. So here we are. It's the middle of August. People's kids are starting school. And it's like Mother Nature knows that everybody's starting school early because it feels like September outside.
Yeah.
Global warming has become global. Oh, it's very pleasant outside. So whatever, I don't know what Al Gore and Obama did, but whatever they did, it's working. Keep it up, boys.
That's
I didn't
right.
mean boy. I meant boy for Al Gore. I meant boy for Obama. I meant man.
Well, gentleman? Even man's racist because you can be like you're speaking jive.
True. Black gentleman.
Like he didn't understand you until you said man. And then he's like, oh, okay.
African-American gentleman.
There you go.
Gentleman of African persuasion. Anyway, so little update on my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The boy that loaned my, and he's white, so I can say boy.
That's right.
That loaned my daughter the book on creationism came and got his book back.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I was like, so what'd you tell him? You tell him you loved it? She's like, well, I told him I liked it. I was like, yeah, I get it. I mean, you really don't want to, you know, not every interaction is an opportunity for debate, despite what Facebook has taught us. I was like, yeah, that was probably the best. I didn't want to tell her it was best to lie, but I was just like,
yeah,
well, there you go. But it reminded me of that they have seven kids. All of them are homeschooled. All seven. So you're like, thank God school starts tomorrow. Because my three kids get out of the house, or however many you have.
Yeah.
It's like three. It's three. Right? And they're like, well, thank God school starts tomorrow because all seven of our kids go from going off and playing and finding something to do themselves to staying at home. And I have to figure out, like, what to do with them. I can't figure out. It's like, is there not a Christian school you could send them to so that you didn't have to go through all this? Man.
Maybe you should start one.
And then there's a good friend of ours who homeschools one of her kids, but not the other one. So that's like the non-religious homeschooling thing.
Right.
And then we have friends who live in the middle of Iowa, like the middle of nowhere, Iowa. they adopted Korean kids, and mm-hmm. they homeschool. I imagine because in the middle of Iowa, you're like, I'm either going to homeschool these kids or they're going to be bullied their entire school career.
Right.
Right. Korea, aren't we at war with them? Well, not yet.
Soon.
About to be. Oh. I've thought about the homeschooling thing. I've thought about it. I've thought about it. And then I've thought, no.
Well, my oldest and I, we're gonna give it a shot because we're having
awkward.
Yeah, well, that's just sorry, it. Man. It's like when you tell people homeschool, the initial reaction is like flat earther, you know, anti-vaxxer, flat earther.
Or I know, right? Are you a prepper too?
No, not a prepper. It's just that we've become kind of disillusioned with the public school in general, and my oldest is having some problems in school, so we're gonna give this a shot because we've been watching a lot of videos on it, and I've been talking to some people about it. We thought, well, we'll give it a shot and see how it works. You know, the other two are just gonna, you know, go to school regularly, but we're gonna try this homeschooling thing with my oldest. And because summer was so short, I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done. And one of the things I wanted to get done was get her enrolled in it. And so yesterday, I'm on the phone frantically getting enrolled in this course. And it's the K-12 program for anybody taking notes. And what's so funny is I'm online and I'm filling out the form. You know, I get halfway through it. And the phone rings, and my daughter hands it to me, and I looked at it. It's like, well, that was quick because it was the K-12 school was on. I'm like, hello? So this, like, Georgia Peach woman just comes over the line talking. I see you've applied for home, you know, for the K-12 homeschooling, and she's going on and on, and she launches into her whole speech, and I'm like, that was quick. She's like, well, you filled out the initial part, and that's what notified us. Now what I'm doing is, you know how like when you go in every, I don't know how it is in like private school, but you remember public school. Every single year, you had to fill out the same stupid forms every single year. Mm-hmm. It's like they could save so much time if they just, you know, you fill this out if something changed, you know, but they don't do that. Anyway, so I'm online doing basically that. I'm filling out all these forms online. Well, this lady proceeds to tell me about, you know, the program and everything, and then she asked how old my daughter was, and I told her, and then I told her she had that I had, you know, two others, and then she proceeds. This woman proceeds to tell me her life story.
Oh, God.
And she's like, "Well, I got one is 15, 14, 11, and 9." And I'm like, well, you certainly have your hands full. She goes, yeah, and I was married at 13.
Oh.
And I'm my daughter saw me do the, what the fuck? You know, basically mouthing it. And she's just looking at me like, what's going on? Well, she goes, now, I was married at 13, but I was a mature 13. And I'm like,
really?
I was like, I don't care.
That's unusual.
Well, right. Well, I looked at my daughter, who's 15, and I just remember thinking, I don't care. Okay, let's just pretend for a minute let's just pretend you were a quote-unquote ... mature 13-year-old. The full-grown-ass man that married you was obviously not a mature, however the hell old he was, and your parents were not mature, however the hell old they are, to let their 13-year-old run off and get married.
Well, honey, my parents was 23,
And my husband was 12, but he was a very mature 12, honey.
Now, my grandmother, granted, this was like 19 nothing. My grandmother married my grandfather, and she was like 16. So that was crazy enough, but...
I love that this is their spokesperson.
I know,
like,
right?
hey, everybody in this meeting. attention. You getting the coffee, cool. Put your cream and sugar in your coffee. Grab a donut. Everybody sit down. We need to get this meeting started. We want to finish on time. I know some of you have a hard stop at 10:30. All right. So we got to decide the process for new parents interested in our program. Jared from IT. We can, like the minute they log on, we can reverse engineer their IP address and reverse triangulate their internet service provider and ISPs and the routers, and we can figure out their phone number. Would you want to call them at that point, the minute that they get on? Jared, that's a little... Is there any way that we could do it, like, after they answered the first three questions? Oh, yeah, we could do that, too. Yeah. Who are you going to have call? You want me to call him? Jared. Sweet boy. There's no way. No. You are an IT geek. We can't have you talking to potential... parents.
Donors.
All right. Who are going to bring state money their precious children to our care. So we're going to have Mabel from customer service. Yeah, I'm Mabel. Mabel, we want you to be the first person. And in fact, you're going to call them before they expect you to call them.
You are the voice for us.
You're the voice for us. You're the surprising, shockingly early voice. Like before they hit submit, you're going to be the voice for them. When were you married? 13. But I wasn't mature yet at 13. But my husband, my 14-year-old husband was. Well, okay, Mabel, will you tell them how many kids you had and what you did for their schooling so that you build a trust, okay, Mabel? Yeah, good thing they didn't have Jared call.
That notwithstanding, the experience so far has been positive.
Awkward. Wow, I better stop making jokes before I hear the full story. How's Mabel doing?
I can't even remember what her name was, because as soon as she told me she was married at 13, instantly she became like Thelma Lou or something like that. Yeah.
She's probably not a fundamentalist Christian. That's probably not what she is.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
All right, well, here's some big news.
Okay.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi, which I believe we've talked about on this program in the past. Apparently, there are some new images out that give us some slight hints as to what may be in the movie.
Unlike the preview to Rogue One, that most of the preview isn't in the movie?
Well, when they did... Force Awakens, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on record. I'm on tape. This is on the internet.
That's right.
My reaction, which was like, I thought it was a joke. Because
I
thought it looked exactly like Spaceballs when they were combing the desert. Man, we ain't found shit.
when the one dude pops up and runs around.
Yeah. What's his name? The black guy.
Lando Calrissian?
Finn. Finn pops up in the desert and he's running around and he's like and he's got his head is shaped exactly like Tracy Morgan's. And I'm like like, are you kidding? Is this a joke?
I mean, I'm all for putting African men of gentleman persuasion in blockbuster movies, and I think he's a fine actor. But mm-hmm. I mean, the shape of his head and his nose, and I know yeah. that's a sensitive topic about the nose, but the problem was what they did in the trailer, he just pops up and he's like in the middle yeah. of a desert. And I'm like, how are you not going to make the connection with Spaceballs?
It was almost like watching the when before the Oscars come out and they start running like the promo trailers for it, you know, where the host will yeah. do something funny. I almost expected right. that's what it was like, you know, he really did look like, you know, he really did look like Tracy Morgan. And it just,
it's like they put Michael Shea in Star Wars. Really? Anyway, so he's in The Last Jedi.
Right.
Turns out Daisy Ridley is also in The Last Jedi. She better be.
If she's
she plays Rey.
Oh, I mean, wait. I mean, yes.
So then there's this character. I don't remember if she was in Force Awakens. Her name is Rose. What's her last name? Rose. Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Rose. Here it is. Rose Tico. And
so she's a squirrel.
Well, hang on. She's standing in this image that I'm looking at. She's standing mm-hmm. with Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a short, wide-faced, maybe chubby Asian girl with short dark hair that kind of flips up, you know, the mm-hmm. little flip.
Yeah, the little flip.
So, confirming my bias, which is that the creators of Star Wars are completely racist. It's like, really, the black dude with the Asian chick, the little bit chubby Asian chick named Rose, right? Might as well call her Tokyo Rose if there was a Tokyo yeah. in that universe, right?
Is it like Dave Chappelle and his wife are in the new Star Wars movie?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now they have a picture of Chewbacca with a creature known as a porg.
Mm-hmm.
They are puffin-like creatures from the island of the first Jedi Temple. They're cute, cuddly, and vexing to Wookiees. And they are from Octo.
Sure.
Well, let me tell you, it looks exactly like a guinea pig with giant eyes. They're about to... I'm afraid this one's jumping the shark. If you haven't gotten that yet...
I'm just going to assume it's Return of the Jedi remake from the sound of it. So
the caretakers of Octo. Is it Octo or Octu?
I get George Lucas on the phone and ask him.
Okay, so here's what it says in Entertainment Weekly. These amphibious creatures are what writer-director Rian Johnson describes as alien nuns, a religious order faithful to the Force, who tend to the ancient Jedi structures of Octu. Now, I'm going to show you this picture. I'm assuming you haven't seen it.
I have not.
And I want you to say the first thing that comes to mind to see if it's the same thing came to mind for me.
It looks like E.T.
Thank you. That's exactly it's E.T. So I'm a little bit pissed over here. I don't know if it's the publicist ruining this movie and ruining the entire franchise, or if the franchise is about to jump the galactic shark, but this has me the space shark. It's like,
well, the way I look at it, man, honestly, I don't put a lot of faith in the Star Wars movies now because they're extremely dumbed down. The creatures are just getting cuter and cuddlier as Disney attempts to, you know, get 6-year-olds to watch their movies. And the plots don't seem to be very compelling at all. I'm going to say it's going to jump the shark, but it's not going to stop them from making 1,000 more movies, because they will make them forever.
And I'm fine with that, but it's an iconic franchise. And mm-hmm. I think I was okay up until the point. I'm going, all right, okay. You got a little cute, cuddly, Ewok-looking
mm-hmm.
thing. And then I go, wait a minute. I think that's E.T. In fact, when I looked at it, my first thought was that they were superimposing like an E.T. kind of thing just to make mm-hmm. a point. And then I realized, no, this is an actual still from the movie.
Well, so. in one of the prequels, when they would have like the big Senate meetings, you know, where all the alien races had gotten together.
Yeah.
There were like little ETs in the Senate.
And you know what else bugs me about it?
Hmm.
This is a galaxy far, far away, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
a long time ago, right?
Yes.
Why do their nuns have outfits that look almost exactly like our nuns' outfits? Only they're on little ETs. Like, is that just some universal concept that, you know, like there's some universal thing about sentient beings that your religious orders shall have this?
Yes, apparently so.
The style of clothing.
apparently. It's ridiculous. I've given up. I honestly have. I mean, at first I liked Rogue One, but then I've watched it since then, and I'm just like, there's too much about it I don't like. I wasn't really thrilled with Force Awakens, except for the fact that, you know, well, Rey's adorable. It's just going downhill fast, but we're not the target audience for these movies anymore. We are the ones taking the target audience to the movies.
Yeah, they can get our $12, or they can get our $12 times four. Like, if they made a movie that we would like, they would only get our $12.
Right.
Right? Instead of right. our $48, plus another $54 on popcorn and crap.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Speaking of movies, popcorn, and crap, I did see Atomic Blonde that I talked about seeing it last week on the show.
I'm so glad you saw it. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. Please tell me it's good.
I've known you for a long time. I cannot lie. It was extremely disappointing, contrived, boring, and not historically accurate. Now, some people might go, well, yeah, it was, because this was before the Berlin Wall came down, and there was all kinds of, you know, espionage and drama going on around it. Sure, that's fine. That may be true, but that's not the historic accuracy I'm referring to. The historic accuracy, or the lack thereof, that I'm referring to is the fact that it was like 1989, I think, or 88, this movie was supposed to take place, and like one guy smoked.
Oh.
Everybody smoked in the 80s. It was just very bad. The martial arts, all the action, looked like the stuff, well, Officer Nick, friend of the show, would refer to it as clunk fu. It's very just very, it was so staged and just bad. The only thing it had going for it was the music was pretty cool, because they used a lot of the better songs from the 80s.
Sorry to, I don't want to interrupt your momentum. Mm. Let's back up for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a broad strokes. Don't give any spoilers, because there may still be people that want to see it.
All right.
Broad strokes. What was this movie like about?
This movie was about an hour and a half too long. Seriously, though. No, it was a movie about... It was an espionage spy movie that took place in, like, East Germany. And it involved missing microfilm and blue jeans.
So far, you've described 90% of spy movies?
That's what was wrong with it. There was nothing about it that was new. It was all used.
Okay, this next segment is for Superfan James. I want you to pay attention. This is the part where I try to get Paul to participate in the show in a very meaningful way. All right, ready? Give me the story. I know you didn't like the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the genre was now, but give me the story. Like, who was the hero? What did she want? How was she going to go about getting it? Go.
If I do that, then it's all spoilers.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
All right. Pulp Fiction, right? Mm-hmm. Without any spoilers, I can tell you that there was an organized crime boss who was paying off this guy to throw a fight so that he could win a bunch of money on the fight. And he had a couple of his thugs who were going to go after the guy if he didn't, like, you know, throw the fight, like take the dive that he wanted him to take. Well, the guy didn't take the dive. And the rest of the movie is about going after this guy that didn't take the dive and how interesting these other two dudes were who were the thugs going after the guy that didn't take the dive. So I didn't give anything away, but I did give you the gist of the story, right?
Sure. The gist of Atomic Blonde is there is a missing roll of microfilm that has the names of a bunch of American agents posing as like Russians and Germans. And Atomic Blonde is keeping it from her superiors.
She's African American, right?
Yes, the African American Atomic Blonde, yes.
Right, right. And she's keeping the microfilm from her superior?
Superior, yeah, from her superiors.
Okay, she American?
No, she has a fake British-esque accent. I don't even know what country she's supposed to be from, honestly.
And she's keeping it from her superiors because she knows if they get a hold of it, these agents, these secret agents, are going to die?
Yes, basically, yes.
All right. Compelling story.
That's been told 1,000 times.
In the right hands, a story that's been told 1,000 times can be a great movie.
These were the wrong hands.
Like Wonder Woman, for example. I mean, as I pointed out, it's Moana. live-action version of Moana, right?
Yeah, yes.
But the way they told it was superb.
Uh-huh.
Right? So where did they go wrong with Atomic Blonde? Was it casting the wrong African-American woman in the lead role?
No, I think where they went wrong was, at least for me, where they went wrong was there was nothing new or fresh about it. There was no real twist to it. It was just a big cliche. Look at Pulp Fiction, okay? That kind of plot, you know, mobster plot, goon, thug, hitman stuff is pretty well done. But it was done in such an interesting way that it made it fresh. This movie did nothing to make anything fresh.
That's my point, is the plot of Pulp Fiction, nothing new under the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like... Mm-hmm. Hitmen, bad guys, organized crime, throwing a fight, not throwing a fight, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that made it fresh for me was the out of order timeline, the way they did that, which kept me like off guard and like on my toes, similar to the characters in the story, right?
Right.
And the fact that one of the hitmen thugs, who's supposed to be a bit player, is having an existential crisis.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes.
Going, wait a minute. This guy's supposed to be like a bit player, and suddenly he's brought himself front and center having an existential crisis right in the middle of the whole damn thing. Plus, that French chick was really hot.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. And for me, 95, what made it for me was 95% of that movie was dialogue. people talking. There's maybe 5 minutes of action in the whole movie, but the other 95% of that movie was dialogue, and that dialogue cracked like a whip.
Oh, Tarantino is known for dialogue. Mm-hmm. The dude can write dialogue.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon. I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind.
We got to start putting some Easter eggs in for him. You oh. Better not.
Steve, shit.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think he knows about that one. I think he had already gone off to college or the army or something at that point.
No. Welcome back
to the Don't Panic.
When we missed the bus and your brother went, Steve, shit, he just spiked his book on the floor.
I thought you were talking about my dad when I
was helping him up
the stairs and he fell down into the mud.
No, but I am noticing a pattern here.
Like a lot of people say Steve shit to me.
Well,
that's weird.
All right, I'll stop.
Steve shit. What did we miss? The bus, right?
We missed the bus and we had to call your mom.
Where was Becky? Come on, Becky. God rest her soul.
Mm.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic radio show. You know, when I listen to the show, I notice sort of a lot of Chicago little diphthongs. Like, don't panic. wonder if the people who love me notice that. Because they haven't said anything. And this is a shout out to the people who know me and love me. Don't ever say anything. You'll make me self-conscious.
And nothing worse than a self-conscious radio host.
It's true.
It's true. So tonight, I watched a movie with my children.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment in cinematic history, starring the sublime actor. He's known for his ability to captivate audiences. His name, yes, his name is Alec Baldwin. And in this movie that we watched tonight, he plays a baby. And for those of you out there who think, oh, he played a baby, how hard can that be? I ask you, could you play a baby? And I don't mean just laying there crying. I mean a talking baby with a personality. Anyway, the movie was called The Boss Baby. And it gets about a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, which if you follow Rotten Tomatoes, that doesn't mean like over half of the people liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what that means is it's kind of not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what that means. If you're looking for a movie that you like, that you think you might like, you're looking for above 60. Preferably in the 70s. There's only one movie that has not lived up to its Rotten Tomatoes score for me, and that is the Bill Murray one in Afghanistan. What was that called?
Rock the Casbah?
Yes, yeah. Rock the Casbah. It gets like 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I freaking love that movie.
We both thought that movie was brilliant.
And it's not just me. My wife loved it, and I can't figure that out. But normally, what Rotten Tomatoes gives it, I kind of go, yeah, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
So Rotten Tomatoes gave this one a 51%, and I wholeheartedly agree. Wasn't a terrible movie,
mm-hmm.
but it sort of missed the mark on a lot of levels.
Mm.
Alec Baldwin was brilliant, as he always is.
Alec Baldwin is brilliant in the Jack Donaghy pouring scotch gif. That's how brilliant Alec Baldwin is. Or gif.
Yes. Yes, he is. And for the most part, it was a well-acted movie, the well-animated movie. But it's one of those things where if you're a parent and you've watched enough of these animated show these animated movies,
yeah,
you know the parts where the joke is supposed to be for you versus the kids,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Those jokes were way too obvious, right? Usually it's like sort of a it's subtle, and you go, I know that was for me, and you feel and it creates an emotion in you that goes, ooh, I'm kind of smart because I saw that was for me,
yeah.
Well, and this one is just like punches you in the nose and goes, this one's for the grown-ups. Huh. You're like, oh, okay, got it. The other thing that it missed the mark on was the emotional pull.
Yeah.
Like Up with Lou Grant.
Good Lord.
I was crying in the beginning of that movie.
If you like, didn't cry, you weren't human if you didn't cry.
And I thought, I'm already crying in the first 10 minutes. This movie's going to suck for me because I'm going to be crying the whole time. And Inside Out, I was crying at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Boss Baby, I could tell it was supposed to be emotional. I was supposed to be sad.
Uh-huh.
But I just, something missed, and I wasn't invested in the characters.
Yeah.
And if I knew what that was, like if I could put my finger on it and be like, this is why I wasn't invested in the characters, I'd be a movie producer.
Right.
It'd be like, something's wrong with my car. Like, you're driving a Yugo,
right? And the Yugo doesn't work for you.
Speaking of
you're
the
like,
80s.
It breaks down all the time. And the producer of the Yugo is like, oh, yeah? Well, what exactly is wrong with this car? And you go, well, I don't know. It doesn't run. And they're like, well, if you can't tell me exactly why it doesn't run, I don't think you have any business telling me what's wrong with the Yugo. Like, with movies, I feel the same way. It's like, I don't have to know exactly why it didn't pull my emotional heartstrings or whatever.
Right.
I just need to go, eh, it didn't really. 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. I feel like a lot of people agree with me. I don't need to tell you exactly what the problem was. But I wasn't invested enough in these characters for it to make me sad and cry. And when I'm watching a movie with my daughters, I want to cry because it's important to me that they see that a man can cry.
It really is.
And that it's okay.
Right.
And if my son-in-law, my future son-in-law or daughter-in-law, because that's okay too.
That's right.
But if they don't cry in front of me, especially if it's like, if like she's butch and sits in front of me and she's going to be tough, like I'm not going to cry in front of you because I'm butch and I don't want you to just think I'm just a stereotypical lipstick lesbian. I'm going to be like, it's okay for a butch lesbian to cry. I won't think you're a lipstick lesbian just because you cry. And if it's a man, I'll be like, I won't think you're a pussy just because you cry. I'll think you're a pussy if you like wear sweater vests and you have a weird, weak beard, but not if you cry. I mean, that's just science.
That's exactly what it is.
I'm trying to cover all of our demographics.
I see that. Well, Andy, who's been on the show before, one night he was over here. We were watching movies and drinking.
You mean A. William Wright?
No,
or do you
no,
mean
I'm sorry.
D.
And Andy Thompson. D.
D.
Yes. D was okay. Take two. D was over to my house one day. We were watching movies and drinking. And like out of the blue, he just goes, "Man, you know, since you know you've got kids, and have you like, do you like cry at movies now that you have kids?" I'm like, "Dude, I cry at commercials."
Look, I used to love Toxic Avenger, and so maybe a couple of years ago, I thought, "Oh, look, it's on whatever, YouTube or Netflix or somewhere. I'm going to watch Toxic Avenger." It gets to that scene where those guys run over that 12-year-old boy riding his bike. And I was like, I can't watch this movie.
Yeah. Some you know? Of that stuff didn't. Yeah. When you get older and you start to realize, you know, you've got
right.
kids, it's
right.
a whole. Yeah.
All right. That having been said, let's do some headlines.
You can stop beating Ma. It didn't work.
Losing Disney might sting Netflix in the short term, but it shouldn't change things for investors. It's funny I came across this headline, and one of the reasons I picked it, first of all, Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And being irresponsible, I'm just going to assume that somehow Netflix and Disney had a falling out, or maybe Disney bought Hulu or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But if I had this conversation with my kids earlier today, I'm like, we're paying $9 a month for Netflix. We're also paying $9 a month for Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we should drop one of them. And they go, drop Hulu. I was like, I don't know if we can drop Hulu because it's got some shows on it that your mother and I like. And they're
yeah.
like, well, but you can't drop Netflix because Hulu doesn't have like Jesse and Bunked. And I'm like, then I read this headline. I was like, are those shows Disney?
Yes.
Netflix about to drop those shows?
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
And what's the other one with Better in Stereo?
Liv and Maddie.
That's after my... That must be older, younger than my kids. I have no idea what that is.
Liv and Maddie, Uncle Grandpa, what's the other one? Jesse, Bunked. If those are all Disney shows, we might be about to lose Netflix in this house. And it might sting Netflix in the short term. But it shouldn't change things for investors.
Is that what you told your daughters?
I just want to save $9 a month because it didn't used to matter to me.
You're not going to be able to save $9 a month because Disney is starting its own streaming network. So that's
where is that what's going on?
That way they can save money that way. But what gets me is no matter, okay, Disney's going to make their own streaming network. So you, in my mind, I go, oh, that'll be great because that means that includes Marvel and Star Wars. I'm throwing that out there. All right.
Okay.
So you know, though, that the Disney streaming network is not going to have, like, you know, the computer that wore tennis shoes and all those wacky-ass Disney movies that we watched as kids. You're not going to be able to get the complete package on their $9 a month, you know, subscription rate. Because that's just how Disney operates. You won't even... my money says you won't even see The Lion King on there. Their big money ones will be, like, limited. It's going to be a big screw-up regardless. And it'll cost $9. You'll be able to drop Netflix, but you're going to pick up Disney, whatever they call it.
Remember in our early 30s when we thought the internet's this great, wonderful new frontier, and everything will be available anytime. All you got to do is just find it, and then you can watch it.
Yeah.
Somehow the man got a hold of the internet.
Yep.
Change the channel, Marge.
This next one is related to the internet and only a little bit confusing. Russian surveillance plane soars over the Pentagon, Capitol, and other Washington sites. This one I love because it plays into our whole whoever's writing headlines has no idea what they're doing.
Right.
Like, Russian surveillance plane. Oh, all right. So, this is CNN. A Russian surveillance plane soared over the Pentagon, Capitol, and other Washington sites? I'm sorry. This is probably for the... you know, Disney cruises, people. Hey, a Russian surveillance plane soars over the Pentagon, the Capitol, and other sightseeing opportunities. I was like, two things for me. One is other Washington sites, like, is there a zoo that they flew over? Like,
does Georgetown
University?
Does Wanda live there? Will they be flying Wanda over her? Sites.
The other thing I thought of is because they had a picture with the headline of the Pentagon, which I've gone on Google Earth and seen the same picture.
Yeah.
If Russia is risking getting a surveillance plane shot down to get that, like, dude, it's maps.google.com. And there's a link to Google Earth.
Right.
Right there. I mean... Vladimir,
how many,
you know, Vlad needs a,
how many rubles was spent on that spy plane?
Gary Powers is laughing in his grave. That's an obscure reference.
Yeah,
he was the guy that flew the U-2 plane over Soviet Union, got shot down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Next one, parents. Hang on. So, I've been trying to learn how to read headlines.
Good luck with that.
As we've been doing this. So, I read this one and immediately was confused. Parents, the solar eclipse is nothing to fear. Here's how to watch it with your kids. So, when I read that, you know, it was parents: which I thought meant this is something parents are saying.
Yes, that's typically what it means.
The solar eclipse is nothing to fear. Here's how to watch it with your kids. And I thought, thank God parents are telling us how to watch the solar eclipse and whether or not to fear it. I'm a parent. They didn't ask me. Then I realized it was addressing parents. It was like, hey, parents, the solar eclipse is nothing to fear. And my reaction was, well, I wasn't afraid of it, but now that you mention it, maybe I should be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anytime there's they tell you it's not to be afraid of it, maybe we should be afraid of it a little bit.
Here's how to watch it with your kids.
What if I don't want to watch it with my kids?
Yeah, it's a romantic evening for me. It's like it's an evening that lasts less than 45 seconds, but it's still an evening. Do you remember when we were, I think I was like second grade or third grade or something?
Yeah.
It was a partial eclipse. Yep.
It was, yeah, we set up to watch it at the school, and they had the little projector set up so that you could look at it on the like that overhead projector, but they kind of had it reversed, and yeah, I wasn't impressed.
There was like a little piece of paper, like Mr. Fireball had like this little piece of paper, and like there was a little shadow on the piece of paper. And I was like, I looked at it and I thought, what is this? And they're like, whatever you do, don't look at it.
Yeah.
And I looked at it. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And, I mean, I can still see.
Yeah. Well, you know what me and Uncle Carl did back in the 90s, the late 90s, there was another solar eclipse. And he wanted to take pictures of it for when he was working for the South Bend Tribune at the time. And all he did was we're stranded. I don't know how we ended up there, but we're stranded in the middle of Stark County, which if anybody wants to know what Stark County is like, it's where you don't want to ever be stranded. And as it's about to happen. So he MacGyvers, he gets into his trunk and he pulls out x-rays from like his mom's insides. I think they were like lungs or something. And he puts it over the camera and takes a bunch of pictures through the x-ray. They were spectacular pictures.
Nice.
It was an interesting afternoon, to say the least.
Yeah, this one's supposed to be like almost total.
Yeah. If you're in Oregon, it's like almost 100%. Out here, it's going to be like 80-something.
The one we saw back in the day was only like 25%.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, is going to make it like pretty dark out.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, to say the least.
Looking forward to it. I don't know if the girls realize what a rare...
What is that? Is that like the 21st of this month? Is that when it's supposed to happen?
Yes.
Okay.
21st.
So this episode will be out before it happens. So.
So this isn't our last episode, but the next one might be. Because who knows? And that's a weird thing right now. I haven't heard any like doomsday, like world's about to come to an end. I haven't heard any of that. I was looking for those headlines to lead us into this discussion. The only thing I could find was, parents, we know you're a bunch of pussies, so here's why you don't have to be afraid of the solar eclipse.
Have we become that soft as a nation?
We're afraid. I think so. How come there aren't a bunch of people wearing tennis shoes, like, getting ready for the end times?
Well, that would be North Korea, but that's a different headline.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a whole show just on North Korea, because by the time we have another episode come out, we may be at war with North Korea. Hey, man, we've never stopped being at war with North Korea. 1953, that was an armistice. It was a ceasefire. There was never a peace treaty signed. We've been at war the whole time, man.
When 75 to 80% of your troops are dead because they're old, the war is over.
I think I've had enough.
I think we've both had enough.
And if I have any more, it'll be too much.
That's the benefit of age.
Yes. Yes, it is. Therefore, I'm going to say head on over to thenewaleph.com or worldsamibar.com. Mm-hmm. Go over to the Andy Wright. Wait, no. A. William Wright.
That's right.
On Facebook and Twitter. Check it out. It's good stuff. Go to don'tpanicradioshow.com to check out all of the episodes of our show. In the meantime, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.
What a time.